Amen. Just remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. If you would, turn to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. I'm glad Jesus will meet you at the cross. Amen. If you've got a problem, the cross is the place for you. Amen. And I'm glad He's still willing and able to save whosoever will. Amen. And I'm glad He's still dealing with sinners, even in this dark day we're living in. Amen. What a good God He is. Amen. Wonderful Savior. Amen. Amen. All right. Revelation chapter number 1. I'm going to look at the last two verses of Revelation chapter 1. Today we're going to finally finish up our study of this chapter, first chapter of this great book of the book of Revelation. Verse number 19, the Bible says, Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Get Brother Doug Bell if he would lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, again we come to you in Jesus' name, ask and pray that you're blessed upon the service. Blessed.
Yes, Lord.
Preaching of the Word of God.
Help.
I pray the Holy Spirit of God, as Brother Steve said in his prayer in Sunday school. Lord, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Lord
yes.
comes up. And I ask and pray that He'll be with us, Lord, that there may be liberty.
Yes.
And you speak the hearts and guide us in Thy Word. And we ask and pray these things in Christ's name.
Amen. 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 Thank you for standing. You can be seated. When I was preparing these messages and trying to get things together, I really would have liked to have covered these two verses in my previous message, just because of I wondered what could I get out of these two verses, to be honest with you, for a separate message. But there was so much in that last one that I didn't feel like that I could cover the ground and deal with it in a way that was appropriate. And then this week, as I studied and thought on these two verses, I told my wife, I said, there's so much crammed in there, I'm amazed at how much is in there. And don't know if I can do it, but I think I can do it all today. Amen. And if you'll stay with us long enough, I think I can cover these two verses and give us something that'll help us. But I'm amazed at how timely the Word of God always is. God knows exactly what He's doing. Amen. I know that He does, and I'm glad that He does. But let me say, these two verses are crammed full of important information that I believe is useful for us today. And these two verses point out two primary things. First of all, verse 19 deals with John's order of the revelation. He's going to write about the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which are to come. And then there also, verse 20 says that this is the revelation of the mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden candlesticks. Now, something that is interesting to me, verse 19 does not end with a period. Verse 19 ends with a semicolon. And the purpose is that it's carried over, the thoughts carried over in verse 20. So I want to read it that way, and I want you to notice it. Verse 19, and then just to finish the sentence, verse 20. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Semicolon seems to say that these are the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars and the mystery of the seven golden candlesticks, or the seven golden candlesticks. He doesn't use the word mystery. So here's my thought in that, is that this whole book is not written for the world. It's not written for people that are going to be left behind. It's written for people that believe God, people that are in the church, people that know God, so they can use this to warn sinners and to show them the things that are to come. I do not believe we're going through the tribulation. I don't believe we're going through one moment of the 7-year tribulation. I believe that Jesus is going to rapture His church out and take us away. We are not appointed unto wrath. Amen. But unto mercy. And I'm glad for that. I believe that we're going to be as Noah was. Before the flood came, Noah entered into the ark. Amen. and he was provided for through the ark. Now, I believe that is a symbolic statement and sign as to how the church is not going through the tribulation, but rather we're going to ride high above it all, thank God, in the glory world. And I'm glad that is true. But we need to know about these things so that we can tell others and warn others of what is to come. And we see it coming more and more as it is approaching, I believe approaching very fastly. Now, let me mention two things in my message today and then give you the subpoints and the thoughts and move on. I want to say, first of all, I want you to notice the order of the revelation chronologically. That's in verse 19. The order of the revelation chronologically. And then secondly, we look at verse 20, and I call that the order of the authority of the church. And I see that in verse number 20. So the order of the revelation chronologically, verse 19, he said, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Amen. Now, as we begin studying and looking at verse number 1, or verse number 19, our first verse today, I'd like to point out that Christ has a command, or an order, if you want to say it that way, for John. He tells John, John, I am not through with you. John, I've got a job for you, and I want you to write these things down. He commands John, the very first word, he says, write. Amen. Write these things down. Now, two things that I believe, by way of introduction, that this shows us. First of all, as I said, God was not finished with John yet. Amen. John was now an old man. John had been rejected. John had been hated. John had now been exiled on the lonely Isle of Patmos for his preaching and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He probably felt like his life was through. He probably felt like that his ministry is now over. But Jesus showed up to tell John that he still had a work for John to do. Amen. I'm glad God still got to work for us. These are dark days. These may seem like that they're hard days, and we may feel like that it's all over. But I'm going to tell you, it's not over until the trumpet sounds. Amen. God's got a job for us to do. I'm glad Jesus knows just where you and I are right now. Amen. Amen. God is no respecter of persons, and I believe God, if He loves John that way, and He loves me the same way, and He loves you the same way. Amen. He cares just as much for you and me as He does, for John. Now, perhaps you feel as if there's nothing you can do. You say, preacher, I can't write books. He didn't mean for everybody to write books.
Right.
But you could write a letter, or you could write an email, or you could write a text message.
Yeah.
Or you could get on the phone and call somebody and invite them to come to church with you. The point I'm making is there's something that we can do for the work of God. Amen. Everybody's job is not to preach. Everybody's job is not to teach. Everybody's job is not to do one thing. There's many things that can be done. Here's a great job that anybody can do, and somebody needs to do it, and that is enter into the closet, find that secret place, fall on their knees, and call on God, and beg God for revival, beg God to save sinners, amen, beg God to salvage America, amen, beg God to work through the churches again, amen. We need to be praying for laborers in the harvest. In other words, there is something that we all can do for the work of God. God was not through with John yet. Second thing I notice about that is that God was not through with the church yet. Amen. These messages that John was to write were to be sent to the churches. Amen. Matter of fact, verse number 4, John says specifically, John to the 7 churches which are in Asia. Look at verse number 11. Jesus is speaking, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia. And he names them and locates them in that verse. Unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And so Jesus specifically noticed and located these churches and said, John, I want you to send a letter to these churches. What you're writing, I want all these churches to get all of this, not part of it, but all of this. Now, I'm saying this. I'm glad that Jesus still loves the church in this day. I'm glad Jesus still works through the church, amen, in this day. I was preaching at Bluestone on Wednesday night. I was preaching on the rending of the veil that I've been preaching here on Wednesday nights. I preached the first one that I preached here. I preached it here several weeks ago, but that was the one I preached on Wednesday night there. And as I was preaching it, something came to my mind that I'd never seen before. You remember I was talking about the statement that Matthew made when he said, "Behold, the temple veil was rent in twain." And I talked about how that he mentioned five miracles. There's a temple veil rending. There's earthquake. There's stones rending. There's graves opening. There's saints coming out of the graves alive in the city of Jerusalem. And I got to thinking about an earthquake's a worldwide thing. The rocks rending were worldwide, maybe universe-wide, because they say even the rocks on the moon have fissures and fractures in them. Amen. And so maybe all of creation nearly crumbled when Christ pronounced he was dying on the cross. But you've got a universe-wide, you've got a worldwide thing, and then you've got an Israeli thing where the graves were open at Jewish around Jerusalem. Those saints got up and walked. But here's what Matthew said. Matthew said, above all that, more important than any of that, was the temple veil rending from top to bottom. And here's what I saw, Brother Bell, that I never saw before. What's more important in this world than anything else going on is what goes on in God's house. What goes on in God's house is more important than what goes on at the White House. What goes on in God's house is more important than what goes on at the Capitol in Frankfurt. Amen. What goes on in God's house is more important than what goes on the television or on the ball field or anywhere else in the world. Amen. It's more important to this world and to God. Amen. I'm glad Jesus loves the churches. Amen. He has a plan for the churches in the world and out of this world. Amen. Amen. Well, let me mention this as I'm talking about the order of the revelation chronologically. He mentions three things primarily in verse number 19. He says, "The things which thou hast seen." I call that things of the past. Now think with me for a moment. What had John seen up to this point? He had seen the glorified Christ. He just told you that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard a voice behind him, and he turned to see that voice, and when he turned, he saw the glorified churches, and he saw the glorified Christ in the midst of those seven churches. Amen. I want to remind you that this book is a Christocentric book. In other words, it is centered around Christ. Jesus Christ is the theme of the Revelation and the Bible. Amen. Jesus Christ is the subject of the book of Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't get your eyes on the four horsemen. Don't get your eyes on the seven vile judgments. Don't get your eyes on the four beasts around the throne. Don't get your eyes on the 24 elders around the throne. Don't get sidetracked with the beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist. All these are just passing through this book, but Jesus Christ is the one that's here to stay. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hallelujah. He's the one this book is about. Let's keep our eyes on Him. Amen. Fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He just said, "I am He that is and was and is forevermore." Amen. John is to write about Jesus. These are the things which he has seen. I was talking about how you could write a letter, you could write an email or a text. Listen, you don't have to know 101 doctrines. You just got to know that you've met Jesus and you've got a story to tell. Amen. Amen. And God can use that. Well, John had seen Jesus. John had seen the earthly ministry of Jesus, the humble Son of God. John saw the crucified ministry of the Lord Jesus. John saw the ministry of the resurrected Son of God. Amen. John has now, right here in this book, seen the ministry of the glorified Son of God. And these are the things that are written in Revelation chapter 1. That's the chronology of this book. John had seen the earthly ministry of Christ through his churches in this physical realm. And that, I believe that's part of this ministry. He's dealing with the churches here. He saw that physical ministry, that that earthly ministry in this physical realm through the churches, but he also saw the heavenly ministry of Jesus Christ among his church in the center of the churches in that spiritual realm. And so he saw a work that God was doing and Christ was doing through and for the churches. And so he's going to remind the church to keep our ministry for Jesus and on Jesus and about Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
My job is not to fight the government. My job is to lift up Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Now the government don't like that. Amen. The Supreme Court don't like it. A lot of people don't like that. But our job is to keep on living like the Bible says, not like what the law of the land says. The Bible supersedes all that. Our job is to lift up Jesus and live for Him. We've got one King and that's all. No King but Jesus. That's the only King we've got. Amen. Amen. He's King of our life. Well, John was right about the things of the past. Secondly, he's right about the things of the present. He said, right, the things which are. There in the middle of verse number 19. The things which are. Now, the things which are, again, deals with the churches. Some people say that's the church age. We're living in the day of the church. I'm glad for that. Jesus Christ is gathering His church. Jesus Christ is building His church. Jesus Christ is coming back for His churches. Thank God. I'm glad that's so. And these are church things that John was right about. They're found in the second and third chapter of the book of Revelation. Again, the chronology of the Revelation. Jesus kept mentioning in each of these letters in chapters 2 and 3 that we'll see when we get there. Jesus kept mentioning that each of these letters was not only to that particular church, but that every church was to receive this letter, and whosoever had an ear to hear ought to listen to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Amen. Now, I am convinced that the letter written to the church at Ephesus is good for the church at Island Ford Baptist Church. Amen. I'm convinced that the letter written to the church of Smyrna was good for the church of Madisonville, Kentucky. Amen. I'm convinced that the letter written to the church at Pergamos is good for our church. And I just go down the line. I'm saying it's all for the things that are, which is the church age, thank God. And it's good for us. We can glean from it and we can grow from it in this day. Amen. The third thing he was to write are the things of prophecy. Wrote about the things of the past, things of the present, and things of prophecy. Verse number 19, he said, write the things which shall be hereafter. Amen. That's found in Revelation 4 through 22. Those are future events. Now, John was privileged, or he's getting ready to be privileged, to see the entire program of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. John had seen it in its beginning. John had seen it in its early stages. He saw it even as things had started to decline. But Jesus is going to show him his entire program, the whole plan, how it's going to work out. Amen. John was going to see the saints raptured out of this world. Amen. John was going to see the tribulation period where the pouring out of the wrath of the Lamb was going to be upon this whole world. John was going to see the dealings of Christ with Israel in what's known as Jacob's trouble. John was going to see the defeat of the beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist. John was going to see the great white throne judgment and the eternal destruction and damnation of sinners in the lake of fire. John was going to see the binding of Satan. John was going to see the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And then John was going to see the eternal joy and happiness of the saints, the redeemed in heaven. Amen. John was going to see the spectrum of all that, and he was going to record it for the churches in this letter. And again, that's recorded chapters 4 through 22. And that is the order of the revelation chronology. Chronologically. Amen. Now, secondly, I notice the order of the authority of the church. Look at chapter 1, verse 20. The mystery of the seven churches which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So, we looked at this verse slightly when we studied verses 12 and 13. Saw Jesus walking amidst those candlesticks. I told you what those candlesticks were. How that the church's job is to hold up the light. Amen. We're not producing light. We're just holding up the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. Now, I recognize we're the light of the world when He's in us. Amen. And we're shining, or He's shining through us. We're letting our little light shine, as the song says. Amen. But our job is to hold up the light. Our job is to stand in the darkness and not give in to the darkness, but to stand and hold up the light. Amen. That is our job. I want to look at this verse a little bit more in detail and make a few comments and applications about it. Now, let me just plug this note before I move on. I am glad that Jesus gives the explanation for the mystery of what those seven stars and what those seven golden candlesticks are. Here's why. Jesus shows us that these mysteries, these unexplained things that we don't understand, we do not have to go to some quote-unquote expert in prophecy that they might explain it to us. We don't have to read somebody's commentary. Amen. We don't have to listen to somebody's dream. Amen. We don't have to get some third party to help us understand. We've got a Bible that explains itself to us. Amen. And Jesus is showing us that He will explain the things that are mysterious, the things that are hidden and shadowed and shaded. He will explain it to us if we'll only give Him time and, look through the book. Amen. Now, I believe this. I believe the Bible is a light that shines light even upon itself. Amen. And so the Bible explains itself, and the best authority on the Scripture is the Scripture itself. Amen. As we begin thinking about this verse, I want to point out two things. There's two authorities mentioned in this verse and explained here. First of all, there's the authority in the church, and there's the authority of the church. The authority in the church, He mentions about the stars, those seven stars. Now, personally, I'd rather deal with the authority of the church first and then deal with the authority in the church, but I'm dealing with it the way God put it in the verses, and so I think He's got a purpose for that. I'll trust Him and follow Him in His purpose, but I'm just simply saying He deals first with the stars, which I believe are the pastors of these seven churches. Amen. I have mentioned earlier, I believe, in this study that this angel is not a spiritual angel. It's not an angel in heaven, but it's a messenger on earth. The word angel simply means messenger, and I believe that that's what it is. Here's a good reason for it, just common sense reasoning. Is because why would God have a man on earth write a letter, an earthly letter to angels in heaven? He's writing an earthly letter to messengers on earth. Earthly messengers in earthly churches. Amen. And He's going to preserve it. Amen. As long as the world stands, even when heaven and earth passes away, this word will still be standing and will still be preserved. Thank God. Amen. But He's done it for an earthly ministry. And so I believe these seven stars are the messengers, the human messengers, which represent these seven specific churches, and so I believe there's no question that this is talking about the pastor. Amen. Now, I'll plug it right here real quick. I say it with a little smile and grin on my face, but I am so glad that Jesus calls pastors angels, because I've heard them called a lot worse than that. And I guess you've got the right to call them what your opinion of them is. But just remember, Jesus announced His opinion when He called us angels. Amen. Amen. Now, back to my thought here. I mentioned that the right hand, these seven stars are in the right hand. That right hand is the hand of authority. It's the hand that you swear by. It's the hand you reach out in fellowship. It's the hand that you do a lot of the things that you do. And that hand represents your authority. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God because He's the authority of God. Amen. And Jesus has these angels in His right hand because these messengers are His authorities in the churches at that time. I believe that's right. Matter of fact, I believe I can prove it in the Word of God. Turn back to the book of Jude. Probably one page back in your Bible. Book of Jude's only got one chapter. Verse number 13 tells us about some wandering stars. And he's talking about false prophets, false preachers in this verse. Look at verse number 10. I'll start in verse 10 and read down through verse 13. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of the winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now these are authorities in the church that Jesus has placed there. And he's saying these men are wandering stars. They're not faithful stars. They're not fixed stars. Amen. They're stars that'll lead you in the wrong direction. They'll get your directions off course. They'll get you confused and they'll get you all mixed up. He's talking about these wandering stars. So I'm saying, I believe this. I believe the church is the authority in the world. And I'll say more about that in a moment. But the pastor is the authority in the church. We see it in our text. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 5. Just a few pages back as well. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort. Now you know the word elder. He's not just talking about older men. Although later he talks about younger saints. But he's not just talking about older men. He's talking about elders. He's talking about pastors. Now I can show you right here. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Here's what he told those elders to do. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but as being ensamples to the flock. So here he's dealing with men that are leading the church, men that are leading the flock. So that's got to be the pastor that he's talking about. I want you to notice the phrase in verse number 2. He said, taking the oversight thereof. Now we've all heard men say it, and it's funny, but it's right. They say most of the time you'll have to take the oversight because most people are not going to hand it over freely.
Right.
Amen. But what God's saying here is the pastor's job is to lead, not as a lord, but as an ensample or example. And so that means he's out front, he's looking, he's watching, he's careful, and he's leading the flock. That's the job of the pastor. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 3. I'm sorry, chapter 13, verse number 7. You probably know that. You don't have to turn. He said, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now this again, talking about pastors, he said to have the rule over you. Don't get afraid of that. But he said, they've spoken unto you the word of God. They've preached to you. Amen. They've lived it in front of you. And they've told you, here, see, he said, this is your job. Your job is to follow them. Amen. Chapter 13, verse 17, the book of Hebrews. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Again, their job, they're ruling over you, they're to lead you. Your job is to submit to them and to follow them. Amen. Amen. And Jesus is, I believe, referring to that in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 20 when he starts off with this mystery. And before he tells you about the church, he tells you about the leaders of the churches, and he's got those leaders in his right hand. Amen. When Jesus got ready to give a message to the churches, chapters 2 and 3, 2 and 3, when Jesus got ready to give that message, he sent that message to the pastor. Right? He told John, look at chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write. Look at verse number 8. And unto the angel of the church at Smyrna write. And I could just go on down through chapters 2 and 3. Every one of these letters was directed to the angel of the church. Now, it's not that I don't believe God speaks to His people. I believe He does. We don't believe in a priestly system. We believe in a priesthood of the believers. That's Baptist doctrine. We're all priests. Amen. He hath made us, redeemed us by His own blood, and made us kings and priests. Amen. And so we believe in a priesthood of the believers. But we still believe in an order of authority in the churches. Amen. And that's not changed. John, it was in John's day. It'll be till the day Jesus comes, until the day the trumpet sounds. That's the way God plans it to be. I realize we're living in a day they don't like authority, especially a one-man authority. They'll say, we ought to have a council. We ought to have a board. We ought to have a democracy. Listen, God's always led through a man. Amen. I'm glad that is right. I know it is. And I'm glad that it is. Amen. That's how God has done. It's still how He does it. God gives His message to the pastor, or through the man that the pastor has felt led to call, or the man the pastor's left in authority, and God is placed at that time. Amen. Now, let me just interject this here and say this here. I'm grateful. What I've heard about how Brother Hall preached last Sunday, I didn't hear the message. I didn't have internet connection where it was. Of course, I was in church as well, but I didn't hear that. But I plan on listening. I think it'd be good. I haven't heard Brother Bell's message, but I've heard statements about them. I appreciate what Brother Hall said. Brother Hall was not usurping pastoral authority. He was in the place God put him, and in the place I put him, and I believe he's doing the work God wanted him to do at that time. Same thing about Brother Bell. Matter of fact, I didn't tell Brother Bell before Wednesday. He told me, I think on Monday or Sunday evening, whenever I talked to him, that he felt led to preach on hell, probably going to preach on hell on Wednesday. I said, I'll be praying for you, didn't I? And the reason I said that was because I was very seriously thinking about preaching on hell today. I had it on my heart and the burden on my heart. But God used Brother Bell, thank God He did, to let me preach this message today. But I'm saying God gives a message through His man and through the men that God uses, that He's put His hand on through that man. Amen. 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 Now, one more thing I probably ought to interject here. I got a note. Two things under one. I do not believe it is ever wise to buck the biblical authority that God has placed in your life. I don't believe that's ever wise. God has placed children under the authority of their parents. Amen. I know parents are not all wise. Not all knowing. I know parents are capable of making mistakes. Sometimes they do. But I don't think it ever goes well. Matter of fact, I can't find one example in the whole Bible where it ever goes well where a child bucks the authority that God placed in their life as their parents. I'm talking about godly authority. Amen. I can't find in that Bible where it ever turns out good one time. Say the same thing about the church. Amen. God places church members under the authority of the church and under the authority of the pastor. Amen. And I can't find in the Bible, I've never seen it go well, for people that just purposefully buck the authority of the church, throw aside the teachings of the church, turn their back on the church, and go a different way. I've never seen it come out good, not one time. Not one time. When they willingly reject the advice and the counsel and the teaching of the church and the pastors, it never ends well. Amen. That's right here in our text. The mystery of the seven stars. The mystery of the seven golden candlesticks. Amen. I believe God blesses the church that follows the authority of the pastor. Amen. And God blesses the church member that follows the authority of the church of which they are a member. Amen. Amen. One more note to interject, and I'll get to the second point about the authority of the church. I'm talking about the authority in the church now. This note, I'd like to hear, give that incident again. This is a personal incident. This is personal to us. It's personal to me. And I know we're on the radio, but I'm just going to tell you what's on my heart and how God gave me this thought. There was some time, some months ago, when God moved on me to do something I'd never done before or since. And I said, we're going to cut off contact. We're going to cut off any writing or listening to a certain individual because I felt like they were spreading venom and spreading poison and causing trouble in the church. I've never done that before, but it proved out that there was things there that even I didn't know about, and it proved that person's full of venom and full of vicious behavior, and their desire is to destroy the church if at all possible. Amen. Now here's what I'm saying. I'm not taking credit that I was smart then. I'm not taking credit that I'm smart now. But I'm saying God in His mercy and God in His goodness gave leadership even when I didn't know He's given leadership and showed us and helped us and the church blessed and was benefited by obeying the pastoral authority. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I give God glory for it. I really do. Amen. Now that's the authority in the church. Let me give you the second thing. There's the authority of the church. Verse 20, the latter phrase there, of course, talks about the golden candlesticks. He said, the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. I say again, I believe that God's spiritual authority in this world is His churches. Amen. God does not deal with people primarily through the United Nations or the Supreme Court of the United States. Or the White House, or the U.S. Congress, or the World Council of Churches, or the Roman Catholic Organization, or any other parachurch ministry, or any other group that may call themselves a church. It's not one of God's real churches. God deals with this world and deals with people through His real churches. I believe that. Jesus is fixing to wind it all up right here. Winding up this chapter, this book is going to wind up all of God's plan. And through it, He's still dealing with the church. And that's what He's going to be doing till the end. Amen. If you want the truth today, you don't need to tune in to CBS or NBC or CNN or ABC or C-SPAN or Fox News. You need to tune in to God's churches. That's where God dispenses His truth at. That's right. By the way, His churches use the King James Bible. Amen. Amen. So we see here this book of Revelation. As I said, God's winding things down. He's about to wrap it all up. His dealings with the nations of the world. We're coming to near to the end. And God has a special message for His churches to deliver to the world. His message is one of judgment for sins committed and one of grace for sins repented of and turned from. Amen. It's a simple message. Repent or perish. It's that simple. That's the message of the last days. That's the message of the church age. And we need to keep pressing and preaching that message. Amen. Amen. Now, in conclusion, I've talked about the order of the revelation chronologically and the order of the authority of the churches. In that order, the authority of the churches, I talked about the authority in the church and the authority of the church. I'm going to give you two striking examples in conclusion. And again, they're a little bit personal, but I think you'll help us because I see it and I'm afraid not to tell you. Just to be honest with you, I'm afraid not to. And I see this. First example that brought these things home to me this week. This week we heard the disturbing news that Josh Duggar from the famous Duggar family on TV, 17 children and counting, I believe something like that, and they made famous. He came out admitting that he had not only molested girls in the past, two of which were his own little sisters, but that he now admitted to, quote, being the biggest hypocrite in the world. Those are his words. The biggest hypocrite in the world, because it came to light that he is addicted to pornography and that he has been carrying on adulterous affairs against his wife.
Right.
All this while supposing to be standing for family values and Christian morals. Now, we was talking about some of this yesterday. I have never thought that the television would promote Christianity. They're going to do their best to destroy it. They're going to do their best to defame it. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen. This is going to give ammunition to the sinners of the world to point to all those who are Christians, which is what Mr. Duggar professed to be. They're going to claim that we're all hypocrites, which is what Mr. Duggar confessed to be. They're going to say, oh, that's the way they all are, especially these that's got big families, especially these that have a King James Bible. Thump that King James Bible. But I want to point out to you that the Duggars had chosen years ago to reject pastoral authority and to reject church authority, and they'd gone with what's known as the home church movement, and they had lived in a life of rebellion against the Word of God and the plan of God for the ages. I'm not saying that caused all this, but I can't help but think how things might have been different if Mom and Daddy Duggar kept their kids on the front row at the house of God and let a preacher preach to them and lead them and tell them of things is right. Amen.
Amen.
But because mom and daddy refused to admit to church authority and admit to pastoral authority, their children now are living the same way. God help us. Amen. God help us. Again, I'm not blaming mom and daddy for it all, but I'm just showing you where there's a little bit of, and I see it in our texts. Our Lord's winding her down. He said, there's still a church. There's still an authority. There's an authority in the church, and there's authority of the church. Amen. Amen. Second thing I notice here, and almost a year ago, it'll be a year this coming Wednesday, this church voted me in as their pastor. After times of praying and fasting and seeking the will of God, we came to 100% vote. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Then about 3 months ago, after dealing with a particular situation for some time, I had to lead the church to take disciplinary actions, disciplinary steps, dismiss a member for sinful activity. The week following that, we had a revival meeting. Amen. God met with us. I believe God spoke to a lot of people. He did to me. Amen. He spoke in a lot of different ways. That following Sunday, I'm taking it through a progression. One Sunday night, we dealt with it. Week, we had revival. Next Sunday morning, you remember what happened? The creek got out of the banks. Amen. The Holy Spirit filled the temple. Amen. And, I mean, God moved through and blessed almost everybody in the building.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I say almost because there was one individual that was obviously not happy and not blessed.
Right.
Amen. And I'm not pointing out, I'm just telling you. I saw it, and others did as well. And Brother Bale made a comment later, and I thought about it. I knew he's right. I knew when he said it. You know how things just ring, but you know what's right? Here's what Brother Bale said. Brother Bale said, God put his sanction on the decision this church had made. That's what he said. I believe he's right. God put a sanction on the decision this church had made. This church had made a decision to call me as pastor. They'd made a decision to follow me in one of the most painful things we can ever do. By the way, nobody wants to dismiss people. You want to bring people into church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Nobody wants to spank their child, but sometimes we know it's necessary. Amen. Well, but the church agreed to follow me, and God put His sanction on that by letting the church rejoice and be exceedingly glad and have that wonderful, worshipful experience. But here's what I realized this week. That one person that was not blessed must not have made the same choice.
Right.
It's become obvious. Now, they didn't vote against me in the vote, but they've been voting against me in their absence. And they've been voting against me in some statements. Amen. You say, preacher, why are you saying that? Because God's got an authority here. And I'm not trying to take up for me. I'm not trying to take up for my position. I'm trying to preach the Bible.
Yes, sir.
And I'm saying it's very vitally important that we stay with this Bible, come what may or come who may. Amen.
Amen.
It's vitally important that we stay with the Bible. Amen. And I'm not saying, well, let's just excommunicate. No, what I am saying, let's pray, because as I said earlier, I have never seen those actions go well, not one time. It's always a downhill spiral. It's always a destructive spiral. It's always a bad move. Amen. And so what I'm saying is, let's pray that God in His mercy might grant repentance, and God might reunite, and God might heal, and God might help, and then that God might blow through again and send real revival for us obeying the Word of God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. I want the church to be what God wants us to be. Amen. I want us to experience. That Sunday morning was so special to me. I'm telling you, it was such a blessing. I wish it was that way ever, sir. I know it can't be. We'd die. Amen. But I wish it was that way more often. Amen. But I'm convinced God's got an order. God's got a time. I've said it before. Time means nothing to God, but timing means everything to God. And He's working in time, and I believe this message fell on this day. God used Brother Bell to preach on hell, so I didn't have to today. I could preach this message today and get us ready for this meeting. Amen. Amen. God, help us to obey the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the presence of God, for the liberty to preach. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God, the direction, the instruction of the Word of God. I thank you how you protect us, even when we don't realize that you're protecting us. If we just obey you, we're being protected. What a blessing. Father, I pray now that you'd help in this time. Lord, you might deal with some sinner. They might be saved. Saints of God might be strengthened. Lord, that the church might unite in fellowship and in decision to follow the Lord Jesus and to go with God and see your stamp of approval one more time. Bless us in this upcoming meeting. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come, we'll give you opportunity to come. While we sing, page number 12. If you need to come, you make your move.